In 1992, in the remote wilderness along the Laos-Vietnam border, two biologists found the horns of a previously undiscovered animal, a large, they think ox-like, creature called a saola. Now, as you'd expect, the discovery of a brand new mammal rocked the science world. But the thing is, to this day, no one's actually seen a saola in the wild. So it could be extinct. Conservation biologist William Robichaud set out to find the saola. William DeBise joined him and wrote a book about their quest called The Last Unicorn, and they never did find it. But as Robichaud told Charles Monroe Kane, they did find much more.
That was extraordinary. I've been following and studying this animal for about 15 years, and I've only ever seen it once, and that was a captive who actually didn't live very long. It's extraordinarily beautiful. Its scientific genus name is Pseudo-Oryx because it superficially looks like the oryxes of the Middle East and North Africa, with beautiful white spots on the face and very long horns, about 2 feet long. It's actually a very primitive member of the cattle family. Basically, there's only one species of saola in the world, and it's the saola.
It's the only thing left in its species? That's it?
Yeah. It was only discovered by the outside world in 1992 in Vietnam, and it was probably the most spectacular zoological find of the 20th century. Not even biologists in Hanoi knew about it, only local villagers, until it was discovered by a biological survey team in 1992.
Doesn't that surprise you? I thought you could find a new frog, maybe, or a new plant form, or an insect in Brazil, but a mammal?
This was not like finding a new species of deer or a new species of raccoon or something of that sort. This animal, it's its own genus. It may be its own tribe taxonomically. It's like it's so evolutionarily unique. It's like the coleanth, you know, the mystery of the seas.
So you guys went to see it, right?
I tried. I looked at the little inset map in the article that showed where it had been discovered in this little national park in Vietnam on the Lao border, and I said, that thing's in Laos for sure. And within like 2-3 days, I sort of took a bus, half hitchhiked, down to that forest on the Laos side of the border and just walked around for a few days. Didn't see a saola. Still haven't seen one, but it was, yeah, he had to do it. And it was confirmed to occur in Laos just a couple of months later. It's endemic to the Annamite Mountains, which form the border of Laos and Vietnam.
So incredible. William, I have to ask, in your book, this becomes mythical for you, and I can see why the more I talk to you. And you start referring to the saola in a sense as a unicorn. Why?
Well, the animal itself is enigmatic and elusive and very beautiful. And it came to stand in my mind, and I think also in Bill Robichaud's, as a kind of crystallization of beauty in nature. And so our hunt for the saola was like a hunt for a unicorn. We believed it was out there. We couldn't be sure. We didn't know if or when we might ever get close to it. But we pursued it because of, in a sense, its magical, enchanting properties.
Yeah, exactly. On my best days, it's like trying to conserve a unicorn. On my worst days, it's like trying to conserve a unicorn. This is by far the largest animal, terrestrial animal in the world of certain existence. I mean, we're not talking about Yeti or Sasquatch or Loch Ness Monster. We know saola exists. We know it's out there. We know approximately where. But it's by far the largest terrestrial animal in the world that has never been seen in the wild by a biologist. And that's extraordinary that an animal weighing almost 200 pounds still hasn't been seen. And it's incredibly beautiful, as Bill said. So it is, in a way, like trying to conserve and find a unicorn.
I would add that there was a joke between us, and that was that back in the year 1250, when there seemed to be more unicorns in the world, everybody knew that the only person who could glimpse a unicorn had to be completely pure at heart.
Are you guys
knowing
pure
that,
heart?
I don't know about a Robichaud, but I knew I wasn't going to get a glimpse.
Yeah. Well, he did see one in captivity, so he's partially pure in heart, I guess, right?
That's right, yeah.
I still have hope. I believe in purity by redemption.
Oh, there you go. We'll see. Maybe he'll see the saola then. You know, I have a question, and I don't want it to be flippant at all. The saola could be extinct, right? I mean, they could all be gone.
And yet, why give up? The saola still entrances many, many people, and the efforts show no sign of flagging.
Aren't you ever worried? I mean, I don't want to be cynical, but, you know, by discovering this animal, that's the wrong word, but by finding this animal and naming it and calling attention to it, do you ever worry you're part of endangering it too? I mean, rare things are stolen and destroyed on purpose. That's what people do. Don't you ever like feel like, hey, I saw this thing once, maybe I should just shut up and leave the thing alone?
Absolutely. One of the greatest constraints to sawlaw conservation is that nobody knows about it, including donors. I mean, this is perhaps now the most endangered large mammal in the world. It's far in greater proximity to extinction than tigers, elephants, species that get much greater attention and funding than sawlaw does. But whenever I write a grant proposal for sawlaw conservation, I have to spend half the proposal just telling the donor what a sawlaw is
real.
And telling
them
the story. But also in sort of a beneficial obscurity, because just as you said, on one hand, we need to raise awareness about sawlaw conservation with those who help conserve it. On the other hand, if you make the animal exceptionally famous in Laos, Vietnam, and China, you could inadvertently develop a demand for it.
Right.
I mean, the wealthy elite may say, oh, this animal only occurs in Laos and Vietnam, and, you know, it only occurs in my country, and it's almost extinct. I better go to, you know, a pair of its spectacular horns for my wall before, while there's still time. So we're very careful about this fine balancing act of bringing more attention to the animal's plight without also throwing away its disadvantage of it not having a demand in the wildlife trade.
Do you ever wish, and for both of you, like, it seems a bit of an obsession, which I respect, and I know you're working very hard to do something here. Do you ever wish you never would have found it? You never would have been a part of this?
Think of this. Before 1992, the rest of the world didn't know that sawlaw existed. Now we do. But what other sawlaw-type creatures could still be out there hiding? That's why, that's one of the magical things for me about sawlaw, that it stands for all the other undiscovered elements of the biota of the world. And I love to think that there are more of them out there. Not necessarily that they will be discovered, but just that they exist.
You know, I read your book. It's part of it affected me. I'm not sure why. I was kind of upset by part of it. And one of the things I was thinking about was, like, you could lose something. There could be an animal we lose somewhere in Borneo or in Africa or where we're talking about in Laos that you didn't even know existed. It could have gone extinct without us even knowing it, and it would be our fault that it went extinct. How do you even grasp a concept like that?
Well, it's difficult, and I think grief is part of a conscious life in this world. I mean, the more we love the world, the more we suffer grief when parts of it are destroyed. And yet, that grief opens our hearts more so that we can take in even more of the world. We can love the world even better. So it goes on in that way, and I think the... For me, the sawlaw and its vulnerability are right at the heart of that sort of moral learning point that is part and parcel of our life in this modern world.
Writer William DeBuys and conservation biologist William Robichaud. DeBuys' book about the sawlaw is called The Last Unicorn. Charles Monroe Kane talked with them. The sawlaw is the largest living animal in the world that has never been seen in the wild by a biologist. It's considered one of the most endangered species on the planet.